When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Song. I am joined by Ron Caniff. I am joined by Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke. I am joined by Eric Wideke. So we've got the whole gang here, and we are going to be talking about the Miami Dolphins preseason, Ron's favorite topic of the offseason. Like the
I told you, I'm more into it now, man.
Yeah, well,
it's just kind of a tease. What it happens is you start to watch it, and about halfway through, you're like, oh, man, I'm ready for the regular season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm honestly sure that once Mike White hits the field for the first time, which he will, because regardless of what the reports are in camp, who's doing better and who's not, it's still going to be the Mike White show until further notice as far as who the backup is. So, but with all that being said, what we're going to be talking about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is who are we going to be keeping a very close eye on during the first preseason game. I see that in the comments already. We have a couple of guys that our folks are wanting to check out. This is the Pulse of Fins Nation, which means we take the pulse of Fins Nation. Somebody's heart is beating very loudly for one Ethan Bonner, the white superstar cornerback in the making, who is corners are not supposed to be white, but nevertheless, we have one.
So he's pretty fast.
So yeah,
he's got that going for him.
Yeah, you gotta keep into account. Like,
hopefully, it makes up for being white. No,
you don't. You want to talk about players? Like, I think Alpha was the one who made this point. It's like, do you hear anybody talking about Cam Smith, or do you hear them talking about Ethan Bonner?
Yeah, so they're talking about Bonner, not Smith.
That tells you where. That tells you who the players have respect for. So. And last week I said happy birthday to my father. Today I'm going to be saying, although he's not listening to the show because he doesn't like football, my brother's birthday is actually today. Go figure. So
birthday, Josh. Josh, right? That's his name.
Joshua. Yeah, he's going to be he's the guy in charge of my audio. So once he starts listening to this show, he'll go ahead and he'll be like, oh, my God, I can't believe he just called me out on the air like that. But yes, happy birthday, Joshua. I hope you have a good birthday, and I hope his live stream, but by the way, he has a YouTube channel of his own. It's a gaming thing, so if you guys like video games, you can go check out his
your
channel.
Dad?
No, my brother.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, I didn't know your dad was a gamer.
No,
happy birthday to all of us Leos.
Are you a Leo there?
Yep, I got a birthday coming up this week, so.
Oh, go figure. It's everybody's birthday, man. So. But anyway, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about my brother's channel because I'm going to lose all my audience within 2 seconds if I talk about any more video games, unless it's Madden. So before we get started, as always, this show is brought to you by our good friends over at PrizePicks.com. Use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they will go ahead and they will give you $50 when you sign up using our promo code and you put on a $5 bet. That's all you got to invest into PrizePicks. It's $5, and they will give you $50 for you to play with. And after that, once you get your first win, I promise you, you're going to be like, hey, this actually isn't that hard. So again, promo code 5, FIVE. Place a $5 bet, and they will give you $50 for you to go ahead and play with from there. And also, we got to go ahead and mention jerseys305.com. We'll play the video for you guys.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called jerseys305.com. That's jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with 5 Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection.
And again, that's Jerseys305. You can just go ahead and get on there. Use that promo code. You get 10% off your order. I see Duke has already. Did you get that off of Jerseys305? Did you already have that, Duke?
I've had this one for a while.
That's the Cameron Wake jersey, right?
Yep.
I mean, I guess we should go ahead and mention this since it is technically news. Maybe one day we'll see Cameron Wake on the Ring of Honor for the Miami Dolphins. But today we are celebrating the addition of officially of Tim Bowens being added to the Miami Dolphins Ring of Honor. So now I will admit, I know who Tim Bowens is. I played as Tim Bowens in all of my NFL 2K / Madden games. But aside from that, I didn't watch much of Tim Bowens in his prime. So Duke and Ron, can you kind of reflect on the career of Tim Bowens and why he deserves to be on that Ring of Honor, sir?
I mean, when I think about Bowens, I always think about Bowens and Gardner. Like, I struggle to say one's name without the other. And those guys were just, man, you talk about two guys that were just anchors up the middle. You were not running up the middle on these dudes. You just weren't, period, end of story. They were just such presence. They were such a presence in the center of the defensive line. It was just, you didn't even think about it. It wasn't, it kind of reminds me of back in the Marino days when we had Webb and Richmond Webb and who was the, in Sims, at the left tackle and left guard. Like, they were two spots that you didn't even think about. You knew they were going to be there. They're going to be there every week, and they were going to do their job, and nobody was getting by them. And it was the same thing with Bowens and Gardner. And if I recall, isn't it Bowens, Chris, that he only has a big toe and a little toe on one of his foot, and I don't think he has the three middle toes. I'm pretty sure
that. I don't know. I've not heard
that. Yeah, I'm going to look that up. I'll let you go ahead there, Duke. I'm going to look that up, see if I've got that right.
And I'll just reiterate what you said. Those guys, that was a tough front. I like it says in the comments here, they kept 54 clean. I watched that video that they posted of Zach telling Tim Bowens that he was going to be in the Ring of Honor, and it's pretty fun. So, yeah.
I mean, I personally think it's very deserving. And even then, even after Gardner left, Bowens was still around. So. Like he's very much a legacy player in that sense. Like, I don't think Bowens, like, once he left Miami, that was it. He was done with his career, right? If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he went anywhere after Miami.
Yeah, he only played for Miami.
Yeah, that was it.
So that maybe that's it. Maybe that's what separates him and Daryl Gardner, is that Bowens is true Miami royalty in the sense that he didn't play for anybody else. He didn't leave.
Yep. He was so awesome, man.
My question there regarding the Ring of Honor, and I do this when I play Madden, we're talking about video games earlier, is, you know, 12, 13, and 39 are retired. When are 54 and 99 going to be retired? That's what I want to know. Because nobody gets those jerseys. If you ever notice, nobody, the last person to wear 54, if you remember, was AJ Eads in 2010. He wore it for like one day of camp. And there was an uproar, and he never
wore
jersey number again. So I want to know when they're going to retire those numbers.
I would imagine any time. I mean, they need to. Those are two numbers that just need to be retired. Nobody as Dolphin should wear those numbers again.
So when I draft a guy on Madden and it's a linebacker and he wears number 54, that's the first thing that gets changed. Same thing with defensive guy. He's 99. He gets changed. You don't get those numbers, pal. Sorry.
There you go.
So question for you guys then. Do you go ahead and let somebody wear Duper and Clayton's numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why them and not – why them is okay and not JT and Zach?
Well, JT and Zach, for starters, are Hall of Famers. I mean, and JT – they're both some of the best to do it. I was going to say Bowens and Gardner. Look, I can't get them out of my head. Duper and Clayton were an amazing duo for a short period of time. They were a lot of fun as Dolphins fans. A lot of people outside of Miami remember Marino bombed them to those two guys for a period of time. But, I mean, they aren't Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor, man. They just aren't. And I know you only lived through one of those periods of time, Lewis, and not the other. So I could say, as somebody who lived through both and was a kid growing up, really starting to love the Dolphins at that time. Like when I really first, so you would think I'd be like, oh, Mark Clean's greatest ever. You know, I'm realistic. They were great. It was fun, but yeah, it doesn't get much better than Taylor and Thomas.
You want to know another fun fact? And I believe I looked this up last week, so if I'm wrong, correct me. But Tyreek Hill is 11th on the Dolphins in terms of receiving yards. He's been here 2 years.
That's crazy.
I mean, if Tua
has he passed Brian Hartline yet? I'm just kidding.
maybe. I think Brian Hartline had like 4,000 and some. So Tyreek will pass him this year, I believe. Yeah. And I don't have Pro Football Reference pulled up in front of me right now, so I'm probably wrong on this. But I will say that if Waddle plays a full 10-year career at the rate he's going, even at the rate he's going, he's going to be top three in all of the Dolphins categories. Once he becomes wide receiver number one, he's going to be the best wide receiver in this franchise's history. So, you know, assuming nothing catastrophic happens or he doesn't get traded or something ridiculous, he's going to be the best receiver this franchise has ever had. And he'll be up in the Ring of Honor, and he will probably get 17 retired as well. What Tannehill couldn't do.
You've got a way.
Yeah, what Tannehill definitely couldn't do.
Duke, you've got a ways to wait, though, if you're waiting for Tyreek to be gone. Yes. They just gave
Super wrong, wasn't
no,
I?
No. I'm not saying Tyreek to be gone. I'm just saying when Waddle takes over as number one. I think that transition happens.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's going to be at least 3 years from now.
Now, don't get me started on the number 19. We'll talk about that later. No, I think he will transition to wide receiver two in a few years. But let's be fair about it, right? Hill and Waddle is 1A and 1B. Okay, so that's how that is. These guys, and the way it's looking from what I've heard in camp and from what I've seen, these guys are getting 1,500 yards each at a minimum. You know, barring injury to anybody, 1,500 yards each, maybe 10 touchdowns each. These guys are going to kill it this year. If you saw the route that Waddle ran on that touchdown play he had that the media put out, the Dolphins media put out a couple weeks or last week, where he got the ball at the back of the end zone over Jalen Ramsey, the original route was something just ridiculous. He got paid and then decided, you know what, I'm going to earn that contract. He's looking ridiculous in camp. So, man, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to cover these two guys this year, especially when you got Odell Beckham coming off the bench at this point.
If he can get on the field,
and River Craycraft, from what I was reading today, he was tearing up Atlanta's defense. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch these guys this year. And as far as the number 19, look, I said it before, and I'll say it again, Skylar Thompson. His rookie year had one of the best preseasons we've ever seen, right? Comes in, makes the team. What number was he wearing? Number 19. Then he switched numbers. Looked like crap. Now he's back to number 19. And what's the reports from camp?
He's all right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's better than White. White's not.
But that's a low bar.
He's playing better. So, the number 19 is not cursed. Okay, Jakeem Grant is the all-time leading return touchdown for the Dolphins. He wore that. Brandon Marshall wore it for 2 years and was solid playing with crappy quarterbacks. Number 19 is not bad. It's just they need to, once they get somebody wearing the number 19, who's a stud, it'll be fine. So
Jason exactly. Says, ha ha ha. I trust the science, Duke.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and actually talk about the topic of the show. So we've got the Miami Dolphins' first preseason game coming up. The Atlanta Falcons are here in Miami. They're doing their joint practices. There were a lot of reports. If you were listening to Alfredo Arteaga's report from training camp, it is actually available on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast feed if you want to go ahead and just hear the actual report from the horse's mouth, as it were. I believe he's probably recording the actual 3 Yards Per Carry podcast right now, which is why he's not joining us lately. But with that being said, there is plenty to take away from it. Offensive line apparently was not good today, which is honestly not that surprising.
Color me shocked.
Yeah, right, exactly. Color us shocked. It's like, oh, the offensive line was bad, you don't say. This is the thing that I always talked about. As much as we say in Butch we trust, we understand, I think we have to acknowledge that half the reason the OL looked so much better last year was because they didn't have to protect very long.
Oh, that is part of it. That's definite. Yeah. 100%.
Two of them got the ball out in 2 seconds or less. And what pass rusher can get there in 2 seconds? That's not enough. Not for anybody. Even Cam Wake couldn't get there that fast. Like, if the ball's gone before he halfway gets there, there's no point. You don't have to worry about it. So, and I see Welch in the comments saying trade for James Daniels already. James Daniels, by the way, is a Pittsburgh Steeler guard who could potentially shore up the line, but I don't think they're going to do that. I really, really don't.
They got 33 mil sitting there, so it'd be nice if they do something, but I don't know if it'll be.
I think they're wanting to roll it over.
I guess it's not. It'd be nice if they'd spend a little bit, maybe. Well, you know what, though? I'm not going to just say they won't. We know they brought in a couple guards.
A couple of bad ones.
Yeah, but they brought in some guys. So that means they're looking at some guys. They clearly have money. And they saw what happened last year when some teams could figure out how to take away that first option, make Tua go to the second option. Not that he can't. Morons who say he can't. But no, he can't in 2 seconds. He needs a little bit more time, which means the offensive line has to block a little longer. And that was the issue, which is the whole thing about why can't we get OBJ on the field. That makes me nervous because he was supposed to be the fix to that, right? But anyway, that's a discussion for another time. I'd like to think that maybe they would consider adding a piece to that line if they look through training camp, maybe check out the first preseason game and decide, maybe we need to look at that. I mean, I like that. Maybe it's not a bad thing that Atlanta was able to penetrate that offensive line today. Maybe that's something that makes them stand up and look and say, hey, do we need to maybe put a piece here? It doesn't have to be a $15 million piece that you trade for a third round or something, but it would be nice to see them maybe consider addressing it.
And their defensive front's not exactly world beaters either, so... You know, if you're getting
I don't know much about Atlanta's defensive front to have an opinion.
You know, I know a lot of draft people were expecting them to draft an edge rusher early on, and they didn't go that route. So, you know, they from what I'm understanding, I mean, Calais Campbell was their other edge rusher last year. So, if that line they have Grady Jarrett and some guys, I don't know who else they have, but they don't have anybody that's like, oh, we've got to worry about this dude. So if they're getting through, yeah, maybe it's time to push the panic button.
Well, let's see what tomorrow brings. I mean, this is the first time any of these guys, anybody on either team, right, is facing anybody but their own team in an organized team fashion in 8 months. So let's see what tomorrow brings.
Is this shells or pads?
I believe it's pads, if I'm not mistaken, because they're tackling to the ground. So, yeah, it would have to be.
And speaking of players who are excelling in pads, I may have to eat some crow on one Patrick Paul, because as much as his technique is suffering because he's still having to learn from the ground up, I have heard nothing but good things about this beast of a human being. Eric, we haven't heard from you all day, man. It's been almost 20 minutes and you haven't said a word yet. I'll go ahead and I'll leave the floor to you. If there's anybody that you really want to check out during the first preseason game, like, is there any one specific player out of the whole group that has you really curious to see if they can put it together on the field when it counts and not just in practice?
I mean, if it's going to be one specific player, firstly, I did need the time. I'm at an undisclosed location right now, taking care of some activities. So, It was a good thing that you guys were
at the IRS right now.
That is very scary.
Are you at the FBI, the CIA? Come on, man. You can't say stuff like that. Undisclosed location doing undisclosed secret things.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to come on with the voice changer and everything, but I decided not to go that far with it. So if I'm looking at if I had to break it down to one specific player, because if I'm honest, I want to see kind of the entire I want to see the entire backup offense at the skill positions, but I'll break it down to one player. I want to see Malik Washington really step up and take that third wide receiver spot. He's had kind of a quiet-ish camp, and he's been beaten thoroughly by River Craycraft to this point.
Craycraft having might... him a camp, though. He's having him a camp.
No, absolutely. It's not that Washington's been bad. It's just Craycraft's been really good. But Washington is the kind of has that kind of wiggle and shiftiness in space that he can be that third difference maker at wide receiver in a way that not a lot of guys behind Tyreek and Waddle can, especially with Odell Beckham out. So Malik Washington, I'm going to take I'm going to want to see how he looks not only on the field at receiver. I'm hoping that he gets a couple reps in the return game as well, just to see what he has there. Obviously, I know everybody's saying that Braxton Berrios has that on lock and there's no competition there. I am going to manifest it. I want to see Malik Washington on a couple returns, at least in the preseason, see what he's got there. But most importantly, I want to see him on the offense making plays. You know, he's probably the one guy I'm most excited to see.
Hey, Duke, I got a question. I'm very confused because there's a Duke who is also Chris Early. There's a Chris Early messaging also. Is this like a multiverse variant or is that you?
It's Bizarro, Duke.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's Bizarro. Bizarro Duke. But anyway, Bizarro, I wanted to tell Eric
I watched the show
and you're in Area 51. And that's and Jason said, aliens can play guard. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Duke.
So I'll watch the show and keep the comments up so I can see what the questions are and can kind of interact. Now, the show that I'm watching is kind of is behind. It's like a delay between what I'm actually saying now and what's actually going on YouTube. So there may be a little delay there, but for the most part, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm just keeping up with the comments with Jason and Welsh and all those guys.
Gotcha.
And Louis Sung Sr.
We appreciate you keeping the pulse of Fins Nation going. So Eric chose Malik Washington.
It's about the fans.
Yep, exactly. So Eric chose Malik Washington. I can understand his point of view. He wants our draft pick to actually contribute this year. I said it with Hussam's show, and I'm saying it here. Wide receiver 3, whether he practices or not, is Odell Beckham Jr. Okay,
he's wide receiver 3. As long as he can get on the field,
if that's contingent on him being on the field,
he'll be there.
He's not been a guy that's been on the field a lot the last.
He'll
few
be
years.
There.
He'll for how long?
Hard. Yeah, for how long exactly? He was the answer. We didn't need to bolster the line so that we could hold the block longer. We need to go get that third threat receiver. This was supposedly the fix. This is why I wasn't keen on the signing. It wasn't the player itself. It was the thought process behind that versus the O-line. And now when I see 2 weeks into camp and he can't even get on the practice field, it sort of pisses me off as a Dolphins fan. I'm just saying. I'm not – this isn't a doom and gloom thing. I think Tua's throwing for 5,000 yards if he plays 17 games. And I think we'll 100% have the number one offense in the league this year. It won't even be a question. Like, it's going to be every category this time. I just would prefer to see us address the interior of the O-line and not rely on another target so that we can continue to throw every single pass inside a 2 and an 8 seconds or whatever it is. That's all I'm saying. A little frustrating to see him not be able to get on the field yet. And, of course, as fans, we don't know exactly what the deal is because they don't have to say yet. I mean, unless somebody knows and I've just missed it, what is the problem with Odell Beckham Jr.? Why is it that he can't get on the field?
For what it's worth, Alf has made reports saying that he thinks Odell Beckham looks fine. I think the Mike McDaniel's just using an abundance of caution with him because he's old.
Abundance of caution on what, though? That is my question. What exactly is the deal?
So they said, I think...
Old people syndrome.
When he first went on the PUP, they said it was a planned maintenance thing or some variant of that. So whatever it was, whatever issue that he was working through, it was a situation that they kind of knew about and weren't worried about. And I'm perfectly fine with it as long as he's available week one. If he's on PUP week one and there's an issue... I'm personally fine with just letting him sit out the preseason. I'm fine with just about everybody sitting out the preseason. I said that a couple weeks ago, but he's fine. But again, as we've mentioned, we've talked about before, the preseason's about those other guys that need to get on the field and make a case for themselves. And a guy like River Craycraft, right? Most people are like, ah, well, they signed him, they brought him back. He's just a camp body. Well, he's making the most of his opportunity. And to take the spot from your question, a couple names of guys that we've didn't really talk about last week on the guys who stepped up or that show. Quentin Bell, right? His name pops up all over Twitter. It pops up all over.
And again reports. Today, apparently.
Again today. He had the orange jersey.
A couple days ago.
So here's a guy that he's listed number one on the depth chart. And I know those don't really mean a lot right now. But the Dolphins needed a guy to step up, preferably a veteran to step up with Phillips and Chubb on PUP, and he's done that. And from what I've read, it's not just that he's like, you know, becoming a sack artist. It's that he's being a force in the run game. He's setting the edge. And I think that's overlooked. You know, a lot of people were talking about, well, we're going to lose Wilkins and miss his run defense. Well, a lot of times those guys got the tackles in the interior because they couldn't bounce it outside with Phillips and Chubb setting the edge. And if Quentin Bell's that guy, then, you know, that is a huge plus for Miami. And the other guy that I want to mention is Julian Hill. I've read some good things about Julian Hill. And so, you know, he might be working on, you know, just keeping a spot on the roster, but earning playing time and becoming a well-rounded tight end. So those are the two guys I'm looking forward to seeing Friday night.
Quentin Bell is definitely somebody who's been flashing a lot. I know that we talked about the depth chart, and technically speaking, now that the Dolphins finally released it, we can actually talk about the depth chart. But even now that we can talk about it, we all know that it doesn't really mean a whole lot right now. Depth chart doesn't mean too much. And at the same time, though, the whole depth chart is actually pretty predictable, if you really think about it. We know who our top-end guys are. We know who our top-end guys are. And so anybody who on the depth chart doesn't look like they belong there, it's because they're bubble players who we think, well, this guy's played better than that guy. Why is this guy on the depth chart and this other guy's not? That's pretty much all we're looking at right now. But for Quentin Bell to be listed as the starter, I think in his case in particular, it actually does speak volumes as to what Miami thinks of him and what he's actually been able to accomplish in camp thus far. Because the easiest thing, obviously, at this point, would have been able to say, oh, yeah, our first-round draft pick, Chop Robinson, is the other starter alongside the projected to be ready to go Jalen Phillips. Or at nothing else, you have Emmanuel Ogbah there, who is very familiar with the team, and he's also doing good things. So it would have been very easy for them to say, oh, yeah, Ogba's the other starter. Absolutely, no problem. So for them to go out and say, no, it's Quentin Bell, a guy who just showed up here out of nowhere, and I don't think – and a lot of people – I'll admit it. I was writing him off. I didn't know who the heck Quentin Bell was. I was like, oh, another guy.
It's another camp body.
Yeah, it's a camp body.
This is the kind of opportunity that sometimes young players get, and once in a while you see somebody really pounce on it, that a sudden retirement like Shaq Barrett suddenly going, now all of a sudden, boom.
You said young, Ron?
Well, not young, but, you know, an unknown guy. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Quentin Bell's getting long in the tooth in NFL years.
Yeah,
Low mileage.
Yeah. Low mileage and little bit of an unknown. You know, he comes in and he makes a name for himself, at least in camp, at least, and enough that it's not just fans, right? Orange jersey listed as a starter on the meaningless depth chart, which does still mean something, even though it's meaningless. So, yeah, man. I think that's interesting. I also had a name, though, Lewis, before you moved on to depth chart, about a name that we need to watch in the preseason, if anybody's interested. Mike White. He has been crap.
And on that note, let's talk about the depth chart.
Crap in camp. And you got to wonder, are they concerned there? Tua has been healthy in 7 years, all season once, last year. Do they trust him to start in a pinch or to come in for Tua? Like right now, he has looked like he has no handle on this offense. The difference between White and Tua obviously is huge, but we're starting to see a difference that isn't small between Skyler and Mike White. I'm just wondering now with the third year of Skyler, did they decide to just move on from White? But since you get to keep that third quarterback as an emergency guy and it doesn't count against your active, almost all teams are going to keep three quarterbacks. Does Miami consider going out and finding a backup quarterback they feel is more reliable, or are they not concerned about what they see in training camp? I think preseason is going to be telling for that personally. Myself, I think you're going to see him play more than a half of football because I believe that they're paying close attention.
Facts in the chat is saying Connor Williams to the Seahawks. Yeah, well, we knew that was going to happen at this point. Like they were the only team really talking to him. So good for him. Let's see if he revives his career. Kudos to him.
Eric, did you have a thought on the Mike White thing?
The Mike White thing is honestly, I don't really, backup quarterback, whatever. If you could.
Wow, 1 year of health, man. We're all like, yeah, backup.
Hey.
Might as well be Marino's.
We have a third string quarterback that almost took down Buffalo in the postseason in Buffalo.
Fair enough. He didn't exactly do it with an offensive showing, but yes, fair enough.
Well, you know, the game was the game. Yes, sir. Truthfully, Mike White, I think he's a known quantity for the most part. I'm not extremely worried about it. Obviously, I don't think he's, you know, a great backup, but I think for this team and the amount of talent that they have, I mean, truthfully, I think that they're so good in the running game at this point that if Tua goes down, they should be able to just lean on Jalen Wright and Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane and be just fine there for the most. Obviously, you don't like to be one-dimensional, but you know, I think that they're fine with that if possible. Just because as bad as the offensive line was today, by all accounts, they had a good game. I had a very good day as well today. So Mike McDaniel offense, you're always going to have that. So I'm not super worried about the backup quarterback situation. What I want to ask was actually the Connor Williams situation. I know that a lot of people might, you know, let me kind of roll over. Well, you got him like a really just a big one kind of prove it deal, you know. Very least, you still let the money roll over because it's 1 year. You get that at the end of the season. And then you also bring in a guy that can solve your guard issues. I think I would have at least looked into it.
Before somebody answers, was that just my audio or was everybody hearing Eric cutting it out?
No, Eric was cutting in and out. The reception at Area 51, believe it or not, isn't so hot. You know, not a lot of AT&T cell towers.
I'm fully back now.
Oh, okay.
I'm fully back now.
Your reception at Area 51 was better than it is wherever you are. No, we got the gist of it, though, like that you were saying pretty much, if I could summarize, is that you feel like, you know, he was a good backup center because maybe Eichenberg ain't so hot and, you know, he would really help out at guard, maybe even start, at least push. Be great depth, if nothing else, and that we should have looked at it harder. Of course, we don't know what they looked at or not, but I agree with you, Eric. Definitely, I'm not surprised he signed with the Seahawks, but it would have been nice that, you know, maybe to see them sign him. That would have been pretty cool. I mean, he was a starting center last year that we went in with a lot of hope based off the season before and his performance. So, you know, to have him back on the team as like a guard or backup center or anything would have definitely been. You know, but it definitely helped bolster the line for sure. No doubt. A line that seems to be struggling a little bit right now in the interior mostly.
All right. So I'll go ahead and I'll give the person that I want to see the most of right now. Honestly, the guy that I'm wanting to see the most, I want to see if maybe Cam Smith can show up and try to gain back some of that momentum that he's lost to Ethan Bonner, because at this point I've seen enough and heard enough of flashing from Ethan Bonner to know that he's legit, which is very ironic if it turns out that Miami spent a second round pick on Cam Smith, but it turns out their undrafted guy is actually the one who's the superstar who nobody saw coming. So, I mean, I guess it's a net equal. It's like, oh, we didn't draft him, but we got a guy who's worthy of this pick anyway. So,
well, I mean, that's not a terrible thing, too. I mean, no, it's not a terrible thing. He can come along. If he can come along, and then you have Bonner, you have Kohu still, you got a group of young guys there. Because, you know, Ramsey's not going to be around.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever, neither is even Fuller. So.
Sure, he will. So Ramsey can become a safety once he's done playing a corner. That's
yeah, he can. But then we still need corners. So I mean, it does. I think you just need all these guys. Like corners, just one of those spots that, like defensive end, you just invest in every single year, one way or another. Somehow, some way, you are always churning and looking for guys because you need so many guys. Honestly, maybe you need more of that position than any other position besides wide receiver. In the NFL, as far as a specific position, not just referring to O-line as a whole, but each position. I mean, that's just, you just can't have enough good corners. So I like that. Oh, we drafted Cam Smith, but then we found Bonner, and, you know, we had Kohu as an undrafted free agent, and we've got Ramsey, and we've got Fuller. Like, I think that's where we need to be, man. It makes me feel good about that secondary even more, because I really think it's going to be a lights-out secondary.
Yeah, and let's be fair to Cam Smith. It's not like he's having a bad camp. He got hurt and missed like a couple of practices, but he's back now. It's just been that people have been mentioning Bonner, and mostly for his speed, and he's been playing well. And they have a video. The team put out a video today of him breaking up a pass. So he's playing well and good for him, but it's not like Cam Smith's been bad. It's not like this isn't an Igbinogany situation, right? Where it's just like this guy's getting beaten like a drum. It's just you're not hearing anything. And so, you know, we'll take any of that. And I don't think Cam Smith's going to be bad. I think I read something this week that is the defensive back coach was like, this guy's a natural. He's got the instincts.
That was Weaver.
Okay. So
Weaver, yeah.
Yeah, got the instincts for it and just all of that stuff. So, yeah, just, you know, the main thing for him is just you got to be available. You got to be healthy. So I think we'll see him this week. And hopefully it'll be him and Bonner starting, and hopefully they'll look like an actual starting combo.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the Bonner thing almost strikes me a little bit like the Quentin Bell thing, where I think that the fact that Quentin Bell is been your best edge support performer in a camp where it's not like Emmanuel Ogba and Chop Robinson are playing badly. These guys are performing at camp, and Quentin Bell's just been playing even at a level above that. You know, so when it comes to Cam Smith and Ethan Bonner, I'm looking at Ethan Bonner playing well as kind of, you know, it's not like we're hearing about Cam Smith getting beat every day in camp, because believe me, if that were the case, we'd be getting inundated with reports of that. Now, granted, he was hurt, so he hasn't practiced as much. But I think you look at a guy like Bonner the same way that you look at a guy like Bell, found money at a position that you're already pretty strong at. And I can't believe I feel comfortable saying that I feel strong at edge at this point. But it seems like it's going to be a position of strength for this team. In the same way that I think corner is going to be a position of strength for this team. So I'm looking at those two positions, and I'm liking the depth there when you talk about Ethan Bonner and you talk about Quentin Bell and those guys.
So Jason Stamps in the chat is bringing up another name that we should be keeping a very close eye on during the preseason against the Falcons. Channing Tindall. Just when you thought that this kid had no gray matter behind his ears, so all of a sudden he's putting it together in Anthony Weaver's scheme. So maybe, just maybe, there might be something there, and maybe Miami might have not wasted their third round pick after all. It's one of those things where it takes longer than you expect for them to develop, I guess, because I understand how raw Channing Tindall was, but even then, because Patrick Paul is even rawer than Channing Tindall was. At least Channing Tindall played defense to some extent. Patrick Paul just picked people up off the ground and just held them there like
Andre. He just shoved them down. Yeah. I mean, from what I hear, it isn't a whole lot different in the NFL. He seems pretty massive and just overwhelming to even the dudes that he plays with in the NFL. A lot of the reports have said that the man's just like. I don't know. He's just built like an Olympic god, you know. It's just the way you hear the people describe just how huge this guy is, how towering he is. I hope I get to meet him sometime. Like that one time I was with you, Lewis, we were right by Tunzel. I mean, when I say right by Tunzel, I mean like I was like almost from me to this microphone by Tunzel, and just the guy's like a house. And people just describe Paul as something like just massive, like we've never seen before. It would be interesting to see what it's like, my scrawny ass right next to him.
But the point that being made there is that even Patrick Paul already is starting to flash. But
yeah,
for Tindall, it was just for 2 years, just nothing, just absolutely nothing. He couldn't get on the field. And so now all of a sudden with Anthony Weaver, something has clicked, I guess. And not clicked in the sense that, oh, Noah Igbinoghene had one good practice and then one good play, and everybody was like, oh, is this the redemption of Noah Igbinoghene? Like, no, Channing Tindall has put together, according to Alf at least three straight good practices. So if you can put together a string of good practices, there may be something to it. And if that is the case, then maybe Miami won't need to invest too heavily in linebacker in the next couple of years, which would be fantastic if that were indeed the case.
Here's the problem with the linebacker room. It's numbers. I mean, we've already seen four of the guys so far between OTAs, mini camps, and training camp. Four of the guys have worn orange jerseys. Today was Duke Riley. Anthony Walker had it one day. I'm pretty sure Jordan Brooks did, and David Long did one day. So, I mean, it sounds like these guys, whatever defense that Weaver is cooking up, these guys are taking to it. Like we've not seen from the linebacker room in years. And, you know, at some point it's just going to be like, we can't keep seven linebackers on the team because we just don't have room for it. I'm personally a fan of enlarging the roster. I want to keep all these guys. And I know some of them are not going to make the team. But, it's going to be a numbers game. Can he beat out Cam Brown for special teams? Zeke Vandenberg, we've seen him flash a little bit. Can he beat that guy out for special teams? Can these guys find a spot? So, yeah, that's a good call. That's a guy to watch as well, because you know the other guys aren't going to play, so it's going to be him and Duke Riley.
All right. I guess. I had nothing else to add to that. Honestly, Duke Riley with the orange jersey today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say this. Apparently, some guys, like we heard, like Duke Riley went down. They were checking out his knee. Then Calais Campbell went out for a bit. Calais Campbell said, it's just friggin' hot, man. So
yeah, he's so hot that the heat got him.
he's not going to play at all. He's old. Let him. He's been around. Let him have his rest. He'll be fine week one.
Oh, when you said he's not going to play at all, you meant preseason.
Preseason. I'm not talking about the regular season. We're talking about preseason.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm like you. As far as anybody who's even a little, like somewhat significant, just sit those guys this game. Let's see. Let's see Mike White's slinging it to Washington and see how that goes there. See, and Eric, Tanner Connor and stuff. You know.
I get where Eric is coming from when he says he wants to see Malik Washington. Eric, I got news for you, bro.
Yeah.
You're not going to see much of Malik Washington. You know why? Because Mike White's throwing the football.
You guys see him running.
They're going to let Mike White sling that thing around the yard. He's going to get a ton of passing attempts. Because the truth is, honestly.
No, yeah, well, I don't think it's the attempts Lewis is talking about. It's the incomplete passes.
Yeah, well, you know, listen.
You know.
He can run reverses. He can get the ball in his hands in different ways.
They'll run a screen.
Yeah. Let that be the offense. Just screen passes.
Great. That's very showcasing of Malik Washington's skill.
It almost quite literally is, though, because his whole thing is he's a catch and run guy.
Yeah. He had a lot of screens in college as well.
Well, you know, let Malik Washington catch screens, give Chop Robinson one sack, and then bench him the rest of the game, you know. That's what preseason's all about.
I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of Anthony Schwartz. I think we'll see a lot of some other guys I don't even know the names
of. I will say, though, the tight end battle is actually going to be legit entertaining, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing those Julian Hill and Tanner Connor and those guys. And we know Smythe and John. I don't even know if Smythe and John who play. Maybe Smythe does a little bit. I mean, maybe they both do a little bit, but maybe a few snaps. But maybe, you know, I don't think it's going to be much.
My father's reminding me that the on-air sign behind me is not on. I am on the air. It's just that the cord that plugs into the wall is behind the couch, and my head hurts too much for me to exert any more force to go get it.
So. That's one of those USB plugins, right, that you use a phone adapter for? Yeah, it's so much cheaper that way, isn't it, to get those neon signs? I was looking at, like, for a Dolphins one to put, like, I don't know, right there. And I noticed that when you do it that way, it's so much less expensive. Just a quick little life hack for anybody who looked at neon signs when they were $150. You can get them for like $30 now when they're like an adapter plug-in one.
It's just not going to be like the most fancy thing in the world. It's not going to like blast. It's not going to be the obnoxious YouTuber lights up the whole room kind of.
No.
I don't need it to be either.
Good enough for a Dolphins podcast and on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to go back to the depth chart for a moment, and something we've discussed a couple of times on the show. Devon Achan is the backup kick returner, and River Craycraft was the backup punt returner. I found that interesting because I don't think I've ever seen him back there for any of that. But I was kind of, you know, with him back there, you know, they're thinking about it, like, this is going to be like, we're going to have a guy that's going to go out there and take one to the house. But I think I posted in one of the group chats that we're in, it was the Pat McAfee show. And he was talking about this couple of interesting things there. The first interesting thing was the new kickoff rule, the new kickoff setup is actually not really a new thing. He said, this is an old practice thing that they would do, you know, later in the season when guys were kind of beat up, and they would say, you know what, we don't want you to run from the other 35 and do this. We're just going to start it here. And they would run this. It's basically an old practice drill. So when you think about it, it's basically the XFL took it, and then the NFL is like, yeah, we're just going to make it our thing now. So it's not really a new thing, which I found interesting. I didn't know that. But the other thing is, Pac-Man Jones was on there, and he said, all it's going to take is for that one guy to get a late start or slip.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to take one to the house. The moment that happens with Achan or Hill or whoever they decide to throw back,
they're going to kick it in the end zone and put it at the 30.
We're going to start at the 30. So just
we're going to be starting at the 30. Yeah, eventually.
A lot.
So, yeah, they won't do it at first, but I think you're right. In some situations, after some time.
But I read today that the Dolphins had O-line out there on the kickoff. I don't know if it was the return team. I didn't read if it was the return team or the – I would assume it was the return team and not the tackling or the kick team.
You know what? That's interesting because you're not really running. Like before, it's like this big, long run, right? Yeah. And you're trying to go chase guys. Now you're locking up with guys inside of 5 yards right so away. That's really, and you're just trying to lock them up.
So, yeah, so, if you were, I totally mean, sometimes different. You would see offensive, I mean, you know, that Dan Connolly from the Patriots had that big return that 1 year where they squib kicked it. I don't remember who the other team was. They squib kicked it and he picked it up, ran it back to like the 5 yard line. But yeah, so the, yeah, you know, in years past, the return team would start, you know, 10 or 15 or so yards back. They would run backwards with the kick and then turn and block. Now they don't have to do that. So yeah, get a few of your more athletic linemen out there. If you've got some backups, maybe I like say Keon Smith, a guy that, you know, I've read that they've tried at guard, you know, maybe he finds a way to get onto the roster as a guy. Hey, we're going to run behind this dude because he's 6'6" mammoth dude with long arms, and he can get out there on kick returns and we can get some extra yardage that way. So, you know, it's one of those extra margins they may try to find. So I just saw that interesting today that they were using the O-line on the kick return system. And I'm assuming it was the return team and not the kick team.
Yeah, it's a return team. Yeah, you don't want you don't want the offensive lineman out there chasing down running backs.
You don't want them to not have the angle.
Yeah. Eric, what were you going to say?
No, I was just gonna say it makes it interesting to see, you know, what is that gonna impact roster decisions at this point? Are you gonna maybe keep an extra tackle or maybe keep an extra tight end for blocking purposes on the kickoffs? I mean, in the same way that you might keep an extra corner around to be a gunner or something like that. I think it might. I mean, obviously, who really cares who the 53rd man is on the roster, but you know, it feels like it could be one of those things that maybe that does affect, you know, your end of roster decisions.
Yeah, I would think so. That's interesting. I didn't really think about the, maybe it's a change of mix of the positions than we've seen before. Cause now maybe you want to keep more of this and less of that. So I don't know. We'll have to kind of watch for that. Every team does things a little different anyway. It's not super standard. It's just kind of general. So that might be something that we won't really know until some seasons from now when there's like more numbers to kind of analyze to see, okay, here's how the last three seasons before this special teams change or this kickoff change that most rosters were constructed on average. And now here's how it is. And you could see the difference like on the back end. Yeah. We'll have to kind of watch for that.
And so I saw that the Dolphins had a lot of their linebackers, tight ends, and I think corners were out there today, if I remember the tweet correctly. So it looks like those are some of the positions. You might get, say, one more of those versus a running back, for example. So maybe a guy like Jody Fortson earns a spot on the roster over a running back because of that tight end's prowess.
Ahmed, maybe?
I don't have him on the team anyway. I think that's just the numbers game with him. But let's say, and I know Jeff Wilson's won the orange jersey, and I'm not going to count him out. But let's say you're in a spot where, like, well, he's our fourth running back. He's probably not going to get a lot of touches in the game. Is he going to excel on special teams over Jody Fortson or Julian Hill or whoever else? So I think Eric's right. It's going to be some of the decisions are going to come down to those special teams spots. And they usually do, but it's usually at different positions. And maybe that is a positional change now. They keep different guys than what they would have on the special teams part.
All right. So, Ron, I know you're not really ready to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and just kind of get us warmed up for what the season is going to be bringing.
Okay. Oh, so, the predictions?
So we're doing our scores. We're doing our overrated, our underrated.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
So,
all right. Who is it we play? I don't even know who we play. Yeah, Atlanta. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're playing.
I mean, they're the ones here practicing. So I assume that's who we're playing.
So we'll I'll go say ahead. Yeah, it's... who's your going to do not as much? Who's your going to be like, oh, I see you, boy. And then there's
the guy
who's
going to be 19-16 Miami.
Okay, so that's
like that. Sloppy, ugly. My player who what that I don't see coming or under what is it, underrated, overrated?
Yeah.
So the underrated, what does that mean? That they are going to play bad, worse than we thought, or
underrated means that that's the guy you didn't see coming.
Oh, okay. So I'm gonna go with man, that's tough. That's tough. It's a guy we didn't see coming. I'm gonna say Robert Jones. I'm gonna say he starts to solidify the right guard starting spot. I'm going for it right now on that one. I know I'm reaching a little there, but that's, I kind of see him.
Reach after today.
I see over the next week or two, you're going to hear a lot of Robert Jones starting at right guard talk. I think that's about to happen. Whether that absolutely ends up that way, I don't know. The overrated player, Mike White. That's it for me. And you guys know my reasons why.
Yeah, low hanging. So
whoever wants to go next, unless that was all the questions, right?
Yeah, that was it. Over. Okay. Yeah, we'll do, like, I think we also did, like, who's the star of the show, but there's not really going to be a star of the show.
2 years ago, we did that before, but then we truncated it to two questions now.
All right. Give me 23-19 Dolphins win. Your overrated player is going to be, I saw a lot of tape of Jack Driscoll last year in Philadelphia, and it didn't look very good. There's been some really not great reports about Jack Driscoll so far in camp. I think he's going to be the guy that you see struggle. Your underrated guy, and I think he probably will be the star of the show. I think we're gonna see Jalen Wright break a big one in this game.
Ooh,
yeah.
Good name. Did he steal yours, Duke? Did he steal it? No. Duke's going to have some dude that I didn't even know was on the team, right? You watch. You're going to name two guys I never even heard of.
So, my score.
Both are Appalachian State.
And they'll end up being great. That's what's going to be
great. That's the only guy on the team that's from App is Kendall Lamb. And I don't know that he gets a lot of run tomorrow night. And for that reason, I don't think Robert Jones is going to play a lot because I think he's already locked in as the starter. So, he's probably not going to see as much time as you think. That being said, I'm going to go with a 20-20 tie just because I can. the overrated player, and I don't want this to go bad, but I think I'm going to pick two guys for overrated just because they're big names in camp, and I think that's Patrick Paul and Chop Robinson. I don't think they're going to play bad. I just don't think they're going to light it up like we expect them or would hope to see. And it's their first professional game, so they get all the slack. But I just don't think we're going to be like Patrick Paul's out there dominating, Chop Robinson's out there dominating. I just think they will be kind of just there. And they're probably not going to play a lot anyway. So there's that. The other guy, and Jason Stamps in the chat mentioned him, and that's, I think his name's Jason Matry. I don't know how you say it. He was a late addition free agent pickup, undrafted free agent pickup from Wisconsin, I believe. He's been making some plays in camp at the cornerback position. Because he's down the depth chart, he's probably going to get a lot of run, and I think he's going to make a couple of plays, maybe even get an interception or two. So I think he's a guy that's going to stand out Friday night to make a little bit of a name for himself, although it may not be enough. So that's my take for the underrated or whatever player. So,
all right. So now it comes down to me. I'll go ahead and I'll be the guy to ruin the chain, and I'll say it because I don't care. It doesn't really matter. I think the Falcons will win. I think that Michael Penix will show more talent than Mike White or Skylar Thompson have in them, and the offense will function better than Miami's will. With Skyler at the helm or Mike White at the helm.
Penix has to complete a pass first. It didn't sound like he was hitting very many today, but
I'm saying that maybe he's a gamer guy. It's like the game comes in, the game happens, and it's like, it's a whole different.
Michael, I mean, he was something to watch at Washington, man. I know that. He was something to watch at Washington.
Like I said, it's preseason. It really doesn't matter who wins anyway. Yeah, it's moot. I don't really care if I take the Falcons to win. Like, oh, okay, that happened. My overrated player. I like what another name that Jason Stance pulled up. I'm gonna go ahead and say Jody Fortson. Like, for all the talk about him being like a tight red zone weapon that Patrick Mahomes didn't get a whole lot of opportunity to use because he had Travis Kelce up in there and all that stuff. I personally don't think that Fortson's gonna have much of a shot at this point. Julian Hill is really solidifying himself. Keon Smith is The Eric Smith's guy. So I guess Eric Smith, I don't know if he's looking at him as overrated or underrated, but Eric wants to check out Keon Smith. So
hey, and let's give coach Eric his props, right? Because he's been calling the Robert Jones thing for a while.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's 100% on point with that. So
he's been such one of those players like you always imagine and hope every player like him would be, but it just doesn't work that way. Where you see a guy who's like rookie or whatever. I think, was he even drafted? I don't even know if he was drafted. And then all of a sudden he's just like, you see a play here and there, but he looks like an undrafted, but he kind of hangs on to the practice squad or whatever it is. He manages. And then all of a sudden, second year, you see like a little better, but he's still kind of a guy, right? Kind of like Keon Smith is now, right? Then all of a sudden you start to see him make some plays, and then he gets hurt, right? And now you see him starting to crush it. Like that slow, it's just, that's the dream, right, for these guys, especially that are at the bottom, the guys you talk about all the time, Duke. That's so cool when that you see that happen.
Yeah. And I believe he went to college at the same college as Kyle Ubrecht, the punter that's outside the facility trying to get a spot. So I believe they were both Middle Tennessee State.
They are both Middle Tennessee State guys.
Listen, I'll say this. I feel bad for the kid. I understand he's determined. I respect him for that. They are not letting him within 50 yards of that building.
You know who probably likes that more than anything, though? Like that respects that? Mike McDaniel.
I'm sure he respects it.
You know what I mean? But no, he's not. Even with his sign that said, hey, Sanders, I can hold your balls better or whatever it was. Just hilarious.
I mean, again, I hope he gets a shot somewhere. I really, really do. I respect the grind. He's not getting a shot, man. They gave a bunch of guaranteed money to Jake Bailey. I don't understand why. Like, what, you can't really tell me that Jake Bailey is such a great holder that we're just going to ignore
because he holds Sanders' balls better. I know that sounds dumb, but that is actually part of it, I think.
It's like they're willing to ignore the fact that he shanks every other punt. Because
they don't worry about punting that much. I mean, that's the truth. I know that sounds weird. We don't play defense and field position.
No,
this is Miami's thing.
I'm going to push through my headache because I'm upset about this. Do you think the Kansas City Chiefs are worried about punting? Do you think the Chiefs care about punting?
Okay, are you more worried about, when it comes to a punter for Miami, him shanking some punts here and there?
Wait,
or the hold on a 54-yard field goal to win the game goes well. Which do you think, as Miami, point?
I understand Townsend is a good punter for Kansas City, but my answer to your question is actually no. I don't care about punting all that much in Kansas City.
But they went ahead and they picked up Matt Araiza because they could.
Okay. Okay.
Even the Chiefs, the two-time reigning Super Bowl champions, they're out there saying, "Yeah, let's see if we can get an upgraded punter. Who knows?"
Chiefs, but yes, they won the Super Bowl last year, but they didn't win that Super Bowl with offense. They won that Super Bowl with defense. They were a good defensive team and good enough offensively.
Well, but that's not the point.
And they may not be a whole lot better this year. Who knows? So might be the same story.
Let me say something about Matt Araiza. I know a lot of people were high on him in that draft because he has this big leg. Here's the problem. The dude has a big leg, but he's like the inverse Brian Hartline. Remember, we used to say Brian Hartline, if you needed 3 yards, he'd get you 4 yards. If you needed 9 yards, he'd get you four yards. Matt Araiza is, if you need a 75-yard punt, he'll get you a 75-yard punt. If you need a 30-yard punt, he's going to get you a 75-yard punt. He had a ton of touchbacks in college. He's got a big leg. He's no control over it whatsoever. And, in fact, the best punter in that draft now plays for Baltimore because, of course, he does. And that was Jordan Stout, I believe his name was. So, yeah, the guy's got a big leg. And I hate it for him with all that stuff that happened. And it sounds like it was a bad deal for him. I don't expect Miami's going to need a lot of 75-yard punts this year. They're going to be punting a lot from, you know, maybe 50. Their 50-yard line or their own 40 at worst. I don't need a guy that's going to boot it out of the back of the end zone every time. And that's what that guy does. So now, if you're talking about upgrading the punter, absolutely, go ahead and do it. But I don't think Ariza is.
But that was mostly
that
my point, though, Duke. It's like, what have you got to lose? Instead, you just went and gave him a bunch of guaranteed money. The Chiefs, who won the Super Bowl, regardless of whether it was offense or defense, even they're looking at, yeah, I know we have a really good punter, but let's just see. Who knows? Maybe we can cut a few pennies here and there. You never know.
Maybe they keep Ariza and they cut the guy, the incumbent, and then Miami picks him up. So I don't think the guaranteed money means anything at this point. They got $33 million sitting in the pocket. They're like, you know what? If we have to eat a little bit, we will. And they're going to make that back up when they cut some guys. And you know, there's going to be some guys that are on the team right now that may or may not be surprise cuts.
Well, that's the other thing is at this point in the offseason, who are you really picking up that you're signing to a multi-year deal? That's why I'm not worried about the $33 million because it's going to be a one-year deal that's going to come off your books anyways next year.
They may actually go ahead and decide to extend Javon Holland with it.
Holland, yeah.
They might decide to do something. That'd be the only move I could really see happening this year with that money that would, you know, you would actually need not that much, but need a halfway that, little bit of chunk for.
Or as it was mentioned in the chat about James Daniels, and I know that was a name that was floating around out there. He's a free agent after this year. So if you trade for him, you're going to sign him to an extension. I don't know that affects the cap this year, but maybe that's something you can do to manipulate it. Say, hey, you know what? We'll sign you to a multi-year deal. We'll give you a little more money now against the cap because we have it, and we may not have as much next year. So, I don't know. I'd like to see him give that guy a chance. Come on, just let him punt the ball a couple of times. What's the worst that can happen? You say, thanks for trying out, but we're fine. Or he comes in and blows the doors off, and you're like, hey, we've got something here. Let's give the guy a shot, man.
They're not going to do it. They gave Jake Bailey guaranteed money, and it's guaranteed money because they want him there.
Whatever. Hey, look, they gave Braxton Berrios guaranteed money, and I guarantee
he's
you.
Here.
If he goes out there and he doesn't play well as an actual receiver and gets lapped by a guy.
He's not going anywhere, Duke. He's not going anywhere. I said the same thing to Husam. He's not going anywhere. He's not.
I don't think they care about losing a little bit of money unless if they've got better players. Now, as far as Berrios, my point there was, I don't think he's in any bad shape because I don't think there's anybody else on the roster pushing him at this point because Ezekama would have been that guy and he's hurt now and he's not played. So, yeah. He was
a guy I was going to say I was really looking forward to seeing him do something. And it was important that maybe he did, but being hurt again, man, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to make the roster this year.
Yeah, I've made up a 53-man roster this week and it's kind of my first week of camp and I don't have him on there because, you know, the best ability is availability and he's not available. And it's the same way he's been available.
Let's be honest, though. He would honestly end up being a guy that you can stash on the practice squad. Nobody's going to sign Eric Ezekama at this point. I don't think he's getting poached if you want him on your practice squad.
Yeah. There's a few guys that might get poached. I don't think there's going to be a lot this year just because there might be a handful, but it's not guys we're going to miss. There's going to be, you know, because of the way I think they're going to do it. I think if Quentin Bell and Ogba go out there and Chop Robinson and Kamara play like we expect them to, and they look really good. Yeah, we might see Phillips and Chubb on the pup to start the season just because, hey, we don't need you right now. We want these extra roster spots, and we'll deal with that when the time comes. Ezekama, Chris Brooks, you know, a guy from last year, I don't think he's standing out in a positive way. Some of these tight ends, I don't think they get picked up, you know.
All right, we're going to go ahead and call it here. Everybody, thank you all so much for joining us for this episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. If you have not already done so, go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 5. That's FIVE. They will match. They will give you $50. I'm so used to going on repeat. It's invest $5, make a bet, and they give you $50. That's the new promo. So you have it's less investment for you, but still a good chunk of money for you to get just for doing it. So again, promo code 5, FIVE. Go to prizepicks.com, get started winning today. And of course, jerseys305.com. You get 10% off your order when you go ahead and find you some vintage jerseys off of that website. We're going to call it here. And we will we'll see if we do some pregame stuff before the preseason game. We'll see. I'll see if I can drag Ron kicking and screaming.
What night is
can I leave a grenade here for next week?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Because we've been talking about James Daniels, right?
Oh no.
Don't be shocked if Liam is an acceptable starting guard this season. I'm gonna leave it and run away.
Okay. Bye, Eric.
Robert Jones.
I'm going. And since we're leaving this, since it was in the chat, I'll mention this. If somebody buys me a Liam Eichenberg jersey, I will wear it.
Are you gonna light yourself on fire while you wear it?
No, I will wear it. If somebody is generous enough to give me a gift of a jersey, and I know those things aren't cheap, I will absolutely wear an Eichenberg jersey.
Liam Eichenberg, dude.
I don't care.
Come on.
Hey, listen.
He went from historically bad last year to just below, to slightly below average when he played.
Yeah, and then he started playing decent at center. So they said, you know what, you're playing too well there. We're gonna kick you back to guard so you can suck it up again.
He was okay when he played at guard after being moved back. He wasn't terrible. I think you have year one Liam stuck in your head.
Eric, what is your definition of terrible? Like, if your definition of terrible is flashbacks of Dallas Thomas,
year one Eichenberg is terrible. Year one Eichenberg was terrible.
Hey, but it's not about the name on the back of the jersey. It's about the name on the front of the jersey. And as long as he's on the Dolphins and he's given a shot, I will root for him to be successful.
Of course I want to root for him to be successful.
Now whether or not I believe it'll happen, I don't know. But the point is, if somebody gets me a Liam Eichenberg jersey for my birthday, I would absolutely wear it because I will be thankful of that gift.
Your heart is too kind, Duke. It really is. All right, we're going to go ahead and Ken. Like, we're calling it here. We'll see you all next week for Pulse of Fins Nation. Good night, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.